Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
So cybersecurity is so important and so invasive in our lives now, in any of the technology that we use. You will find 5 podcasts here regarding cybersecurity. First, there's the introductory one, and then there's the 4 that take each aspect in data. First of all, we're looking at the size of the problem now, the size of the information collection via your phones and your PCs. So this is called big data, because the data they're accumulating, these companies accumulate, is massive. This will give you some idea of the scale. The new economies of data stem from the value that your personal data can be sold for. This is the trail you leave behind whenever you visit online, like whether you visit Amazon or TikTok or Instagram, or you're doing your email even. Facebook, for example. Now this is massive big data with a big value, whether it be from marketing or from hackers trying to gain access for financial gain or to disrupt the services that you take for granted. It's not an exaggeration to suggest that cybersecurity experts and defense software are in a constant battle to keep you, your families, your schools, your hospitals, your countries safe from daily cybersecurity attacks. Sought-after data might include you and your family's personal information, your search and website surfing data and your preferences, how you use that information, your online window shopping, the type of content, and your personal usage. Well, how big is big data? Big means really, really big, like Facebook. 1.7 billion people opening doors on their family lives. Instagram, 1 billion users every month. Zoom, even before lockdown, had 300 million users every day. And 90,000 schools across 20 countries were new users of Zoom. And then, of course, there were those of us in lockdown who still had to communicate with, meet on a daily basis almost, with our colleagues at work across the world. Now, this huge growth in popularity revealed some worrying problems. So, for example, Zoom was found to be sending unauthorized data to Facebook. And it was also found to be gathering data and using it for other purposes. So Zoom found itself banned by governments for official business, such as Canada and Taiwan, for example. Numerous organizations like SpaceX and NASA and school boards in New York and Taiwan decided they shouldn't be using it anymore because they didn't feel it was safe. Now that just gives you an indication of what is said in the user terms and conditions when you sign up for an app, to what actually happens in reality. The problem being that because these are international businesses, they're not really held by the laws of any one country. They can spread across many countries. Zoom generated $4 billion in revenue in 2021. It was one of the fastest growing apps of the pandemic. Its meetings increased and the participants increased 2,900%. Its values exceeded $100 billion. So that just gives you an idea of the problems that we're going to talk about in this podcast. So what kind of data are they looking for? Personal information is any information that can be found or triangulated from various online sources, such as electoral rolls and online phone books and driving licenses even. Our social media sites like Facebook and LinkedIn offer readily available content, and our user behaviors, which offer big data, can be cross-referenced in minutes to other sources, such as TikTok or Instagram, for example. Your family bank account details or credit cards and their passwords could be gathered by hackers from other sources, such as social media apps that you may have. Many of the small free fun apps are particularly eager to find your personal information for monetization purposes, making money. So we often share our personal information content with others, whether we realize it or not. Content includes social media posts and private messages that we generate when we interact with websites, and the content that other people create as we consume and share. It's also the content we create for private or school networks. Curriculum assessment results, administration files, and personnel documents can all be considered data, even if they're not shared publicly. The problem being, of course, is that when parents of these young people in these schools tick on the document online to say, yes, I allow my daughter to use this, what they're not realizing is that they have skipped through the 30 or 40 pages of the terms and conditions. They're not reading the small print and what happens to the information and the cookies that can be placed within the child, within the daughter's telephone, in order to send back information about the use and personal details that are in the phone. Some of them even automatically switch on microphones to listen in. They can record telephone calls. It's terrible. And that's why these cybersecurity podcasts are so important. Give you another indication. Have you noticed adverts suddenly appearing on your device, which coincidentally tempt you with offers on holidays or products that you've recently been searching for or viewing? Please remember, your phone can be listening to your conversations and reading your messages even when you don't realize it. Data about other people is any information that we hold about someone else, perhaps about relationships, sensitive pupil details and their special needs, study habits, assessment or family details, or any of the other types of data we've previously discussed. Across the globe, it's estimated over 2 quintillion bytes of data are transferred every day. So, our data is valuable to us, but it's also valuable to other people and to companies. So, for example, user behavior and content is valuable to companies because it helps them to optimize their service for you. It increases their ability to sell to you, and it makes their product more efficient. Now, a company may wish to buy thousands of phone numbers from a hacker so they can start target marketing at you directly. So, for example, a company may be interested in acquiring, getting your browsing history, because it might tell them what sort of services or products you're viewing, enabling them to match targeted advertising, matching your current needs and interests. Now, next time you download an app on your phone, take your time to open the permissions you're enabling the app to access on your device. Your microphone, your camera, your contact list. And then open the vendors list. And you may well find they can pass on your information to hundreds of other companies. So instead of just clicking the OK box, yes, I've read the terms and conditions, yes, I agree to everything, actually open the vendors list and scroll down. It's shocking. So I've counted on one of my daughter's phones, I've counted 400 companies one app was going to send her information to. 400 that we're just ticking without even bothering with. Yes, that's okay, no problem at all. Well, it's a major issue, not least for schools, as their pupils often download apps that are free and offer fun activities, such as games, or particularly fashionable across Asia is these cute animations for selfie photos. Pupils need to be made aware of the risks involved in just clicking the download and install buttons without realizing that they're opening their devices to data abuses. So you can now see how all of our online use, our searches, our web preferences, our emails offer a wealth of useful information and opportunities for financial gain. So much so there are actually information brokers who collect our information and sell it along to many willing buyers. Now then, in addition to the data economy, there is an underground trade of stolen data. Data such as login details for website accounts, bank account details, contact details is sold in batches and could be used by hackers to get your accounts and steal your money or impersonate you, pretend to be you, identity theft. Even data that may seem harmless, such as the name of your first pet or your favourite number, has a market value because it'd be used to guess your passwords. Organisations, businesses have a responsibility to protect your data from these malicious attackers. They use cybersecurity processes to do this. You can also take more detailed interest in cybersecurity practices to protect not only your own data, but to help spread awareness at your school for the safety of the pupils and their families. In the UK, we have Cyber First courses run by the government's National Cybersecurity Centre, not only to raise awareness of young people to the dangers they're being tempted into, but also to engage them in extracurricular learning opportunities with the aim of evoking career interests to increase the number of students moving towards careers in digital IT and cyber protection. Before lockdown, I was working with GCHQ in Cheltenham and Pearson's. Pearson's is a large educational company, well, probably the biggest, in London in the Strand. Currently, only 11% of the professional digital IT workers in the UK are female, and only 1 in 200 females takes the subject at A-level. The National Cybersecurity Centre is the arm of GCHQ, and it's currently seeking to redress, balance out this gender imbalance with their first cybersecurity programmes. So from the age of 13 or 14, young ladies, well, and guys, but young ladies especially, are being offered a week-long residential course, for example, at Gloucester University, being run by the National Cybersecurity Centre, to raise their awareness of how to hack into somebody else's telephone, for example. My daughter did it. So they're working to persuade the government to open further opportunities with the implementation of a GCSE in digital IT, specifically coding, such as the Welsh and the Irish school systems have done a couple of years ago. We don't have a pipeline of young cybersecurity warriors to help put a barrier up around the United Kingdom for hackers from overseas. So bear that in mind. That's always a possibility for a career working with GCHQ as a cybersecurity warrior. Yes, way to go. Well, listen, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. It's been a bit long. I'm sorry about that. I think we're on to 14 minutes now. But this is a burgeoning, a brand new career opportunity for people such as yourselves to move into the cybersecurity pipeline, begin training with the Cyber First courses. Look them up on the internet. Cyber First, UK cybersecurity courses being run by the National Cybersecurity Centre. They're desperately trying to raise a wider pipeline of people such as yourselves to become cyber warriors. How exciting is that? So, go for it. I'll speak to you again soon. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.